Welcome, everybody. My name is Greg, and this is the third episode of the podcast, My First Season. In this podcast, I'll be interviewing people who worked in holiday or ski resorts, hotel and cruise ships, and we'll talk about their first season in the hospitality and tourism industry. My next guest and I worked together in Cancun, Mexico in 2004-2005. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Evan Eichler. Evan!
So I'm allowed to speak now, right?
Yes, sir.
Hello, everybody. What's going on, big man?
Oh, so good. Thanks again for agreeing to do this.
Hey, you know, as I've already mentioned, but back to the audio gold, yeah. I'm excited to be on here. First and foremost, I just love the opportunity to connect with you, Greg. You're like family, and I feel like so much time goes by. Life takes over. I mean, we got quite a bit of stuff going on our end. I'm sure you got a lot going on your end too. Oh, plus the pandemic. So lots going on, but man, I love you. I'm so excited to be here. I'm just an excuse to hang out, even if it's a podcast. Let's make it happen.
Okay. So yeah, we spent a lot of time, like two chatty Cathys at the beach. So I know a little bit of your first season, but I don't know. There's more I don't know. So we're here to talk about that. So take me back. Where were you living and what were you doing before?
So like just prior to the first village?
Yes. Yes.
So I was living in London, Ontario, so Canada, and I was at the time working at a bar restaurant called Jack Astor's, and I was bartending, I believe, at the time. So I'd served and worked up to the bar, and at that point they were kind of teaching us how to do the flair, which is like the throwing of the bottles and smashing and spilling and all that fun stuff. But yeah, so we were doing that, and I remember we were at a restaurant as a team. Like we had the whole group out, and there were a couple people there, common friends that I met, and a couple girls, and everyone was talking to them. They seemed kind of be the center of attention, and kind of got in there, and they were talking about Club Med. And I guess they had just come back from, I guess, being at a village. And so I was like, oh, what's Club Med? No idea what this was at this point. And so they're super excited, super outgoing, and just telling some of their experiences. And I was like, this is unbelievable. I'm like, this actually exists. Like, how do you do this? They're like, well, you got to go audition and you got to go, you know, go through all these things. And so I'm like, I'm serious. Like, I really want to know more about this. And, so that's kind of like, you know, how it all started in London, Ontario, from my bartending background. I was also lifeguarding, in the summers. So I'd lifeguarded, that time was like 2002.
Yeah. So I was going to ask you, so what year was this when you found these?
So I think that would have been about 2000, because we were 2000, you said 3 and 4. Is that
well,
right?
four and five.
4 and 5. So this would have been about 2003, because the first village was Sandpiper, and then met you in Cancun. So yeah, about 2003 is when I met these people and kind of got the bug and a little bit of introduction of even what Club Med was, and only to find out it was the tip of the iceberg.
So yeah, so if I recall, you said you're living near London, Ontario. So I also recall you saying you live near Collingwood.
Yeah, so I grew up in Wasega Beach, about an hour north of Toronto. So that's where I grew up, you know, playing hockey every day of the week, you know, going to school uphill both ways in the snow, playing, you know, after school, we'd literally go play hockey on tennis courts and all the rest. So that was like where I'd grown up. And then from there, I went down to London, Ontario after I graduated high school, and Collingwood was where we went to high school. And so, yeah, that's kind of like where the next step was for me, going from, you know, growing up as a young lad to trying to make it on my own there, bartending.
well, here's how I remember Collingwood, because we were talking one day and I mentioned to you one of my favorite movies of all time, The Last Kiss Goodnight. And you said, oh, that was filmed in Collingwood. And I called BS on that. Like, no, I would have known that. And you're like, no. And were you an extra in that movie?
So what's that? That's that would have been Gina Davis, right?
Yes, yeah. Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah. And Samuel Jackson. So yeah, we were in high school, and yeah, like literally the production came to Collingwood and they filmed like a bunch of the, I guess, downtown small town car chase scenes and what have you. And yeah, so they came to the high school and they asked if anybody wanted to be an extra, and there was a whole pile of us that were like, yeah. So it was kind of an interesting experience to be on set, you know, at a young age, and kind of seeing how they set up and you know, execute the shot, which is hilarious, because like when you think you're going there, you're like, I'm gonna see so many things, but it's like 4 hours of setup, and then it's like literally 15 seconds of a thing, and then you're like back to waiting for 4 hours. So but still pretty cool, especially when the movie came out, that we were all kind of part of it. We kind of see some of our faces in it, and yeah, like a generally pretty cool experience. But yep, that actually did happen in the high school town of Collingwood, Ontario. That movie did come grace our presence.
All right, so next step, so you meet these girls, they talk about ClubMed, so what's your next step? You go online to look for the website to apply?
Well, back then, I don't even know, like, was there really much online? I think I back then it was kind of phone numbers, and I'm not even sure if Facebook existed at that point. I can't remember, or no. I even was on Facebook, but no, I think I may have been online just to find some information as to who to contact. I somehow got in contact with, and I think it was through the girls that I'd met in London. I believe her name might have been like Tamara. Basically, she was like a recruiter, and so got in touch with her, and kind of almost had like a on the phone interview just to start. She was excited, I was excited, and she wanted to, you know, put my name forward to the next step. And so from there, I guess it was another phone, like more of a formal phone interview with like, I think two or three people on the line. And then after which that we had to to go to audition in Toronto, which was hilarious. Like I've got no background in performing or any of this stuff. And it's like, I got to go, but I'm like, hey, I want to get to this end goal of Club Med. So I'm like, whatever, I'll go audition. And so go down to Toronto. And one of the things that they said as a prerequisite is like, hey, have something that you can show a skill, a talent, something to kind of show yourself and why you'd be a good fit with the Club Med team. And so at the time, my whole life, I was a lifeguard up until that point and bartended up until recent. So I went and basically created this like huge improv skit with like costumes and whatnot. And so I show up this place thinking I'm like going to be so underprepared, and come to find it, I get there and it's like, some people are just getting up on front. They're like, hey, my name's Bill and I'm from blah and I really want to do this, and yeah, that's it. I was like, oh man, this is so bad. Like, I got like a full production, I got like props, and I got lipstick I'm gonna throw on my face, so
lighting and grips,
exactly. So after like a first, and there was probably 150 people in this room, at this conference room down in Toronto. And so they're, you know, they basically go through and they kind of show a little highlight reel of what Club Med is, where they are in the world, like the job of the GOs, and like, you know, just getting me all fired up. Like, I'm excited. And then it's like, okay, and now we're going to do the auditions. And I'm like, now I'm like sweating like bullets. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And it's like, does anyone want to go first? And I'm like, screw this. I got to try and go as early as I can, because I'm going to, you know, the anxiety is going to build if you're the last guy. So tried to go as early, 'cause I think I was like third or fourth out of the group, and got up there in front of everybody and set up all my stuff. And the short story is I basically acted out a conversation between a lifeguard and like another person. And then the punchline was I was underneath all my lifeguarding. It was a conversation between a bartender and a lifeguard. So I acted out both characters, and then basically being at Club Med, and the end punchline was like, hey, I think you're really going to like it here. Oh, check that girl out over there. And then I geared down into this, like basically Baywatch Pamela Anderson, threw some lipstick and a blonde wig on, and kind of waved back at the pretend people that I was talking to. So it was,
You sound like you're overqualified.
I know. Well, you know what? I got a good laugh at everybody, and I felt like, hey, I've done my thing. So went and sat down and got to enjoy the rest of the auditions. And honestly, there were some amazingly talented people. There was like people who now are like in Cirque du Soleil. There were some people who like some serious performers that came in there, but people were applying for everything, for bartending, for concierge, for, I mean, you name it. So there was the gamut of people and what they were trying to, you know, come in and be a part of for the team for.
So I heard this yesterday by interviewing James Martin. Did they make you do hands up during your process? Did they make you do any crazy signs whatsoever?
If they did, it was like we got to do it. We were standing. That didn't stand out to me at the time, so I can't remember distinctly. Now I do know, as soon as we got to the village, it was like crazy signs, like on steroids. You got into that pretty quick. But they may have shown people doing crazy signs. I can't remember if we actually did it, and if we did, it was like at our chair, and it was like one thing, so it could have happened.
And did you, so during this audition process, do they ask you what job do you want to do?
Yeah. So they're like, what things do you think you'd be qualified for? And at the time, looking at the kind of the job line they had up, I thought that bartending and some kind of like land sport, lifeguard, would have been the kind of best scenario. Now every village is a little bit different. So when we met in Cancun, they had, locals that were lifeguards that did the area. So that wouldn't have been a thing, but we worked on the beach. We did the snorkel or the windsurfing and sailing section. So I guess having some of that waterfront, did you have your lifeguard actually? I don't even know if we were on, no, if we had to have that or not.
No, I had the CPR training, but I wasn't.
Gotcha.
Registered lifeguard. No,
I had no idea if that was like anyway, that's a, we'll get to that story as to coming on the beach. Cause that was a story in of itself. But, so yeah, so basically the things that jumped out to me was lifeguard, bartending, and this whole land sports spanimation, which was basically kind of doing all the on-site activities, like different games with the different the guests, etc. So that's kind of what I thought would be a good fit for me.
Okay, so you go home, you're finished your audition interview. How long do you wait for the phone call?
Wasn't long. I feel like I got a call back within a few days, definitely within that week.
And where did they tell you they were sending you?
So they said they were going to be sending me, and everyone's hopes, like, I want to go to Cancun, I want to go to Turks. You know, like everyone's like, I want to go to this crazy exotic place, like that you know, you think it's going to be amazing. And it's like, we're going to send you to Sandpiper, Florida. And I was like, oh, I actually didn't even know that one existed. And so I was like, okay, don't care. I'm going. It's still going to be amazing. And it was such an experience. So like, getting from that process, actually the turnaround was pretty quick. I feel like we were due to set to be there within a few weeks. I think the transition time was right around the Christmas break. So I think it was like right at the beginning of the year is when I remember we were about to start.
Well, here's the interesting thing, being a Canadian GO, kind of your worst fear is being sent to Sandpiper because you want to go to the exotic location. But yep. Then I found out in the 10 years I was there, it's not so easy for a Canadian to work at Sandpiper because of the whole work visa thing.
Visa.
So at one point I actually did want to go to Sandpiper, but couldn't but you don't have dual citizenship, right?
No. So, and that's the thing. So everybody in Sandpiper, and again, I didn't know this at the time either. They had to get work visas. So we had like a temporary work visa. I think what happened was they had something at the time where you could only be there 6 months. They had to fly you home and then they could bring you back. And even then, like I know now, because I am actually an American citizen, you are only allowed to be in the States for 6 months a year on a visitor visa. So to be able to stay there longer, they had something else in place that would allow you to stay for longer periods of time. However, they would have, I remember that was a big thing for, especially for the Canadians, was the, they had to send them home and then bring them right back. It was like a kind of a logistical thing.
So you started at the bar, I assume?
No, actually I had no hand in bartending in Sandpiper. So I got on with the land sports team, which they called Spanimation, which I was lucky enough to work with Jenny Lopez and Johnny Bravo. Like if you can think of a first experience of people to interact with, like they are two of the top people I could ever think of. And Jenny was the most kind, nice, bubbly person you could ever meet. And she was the one that actually met me at the village when we showed up. And kind of
she was the first GO you saw when you got to?
She was the first experience. I showed up at obviously the front desk. So the first GOs I met were at the front desk, but she came up, got the golf cart and took us for a tour. We stopped at the bar right away because it was in the evening. I think I got there around 7 o'clock at night. So they were getting ready to kind of do the show and do all that stuff. So it was like, kind of came in mid production of the evening. But yeah, came in, picked me up and brought me with some of the other people that were going to be on our team, that I was gonna be on their team. And then, yeah, just kind of rolled through, like basically got thrown right into it. They were like, you can take your stuff at home and take the night off. And I was like, screw this. Like, I'm fine. Like, let's go giddy up, and threw my bags in the room and went back and kind of just went and got in, got the feet wet right on the first day. So, but yeah, that was, Jenny was the first person and absolutely, you know, came to love her and Johnny and the whole team. We just had a really good crew there on the first experience, just a bunch of superstars, which was something unique to have that many, you know, high quality people in an area with a lot of energy and a lot of things they can contribute.
How can I put this? So you started land sports. Yep. So did you know, okay, you started with a day off. So did you know that you had to work 6 days a week, roughly 16 hours a day? Did you already know that?
No. So, and the thing is, so like, it's funny because in the beginning for me, I'm like, I'm there. And if it's like, I'm there, I never really looked at in the beginning that you were working that long till I started noticing my body, like absolutely breaking down. And it was like having some time off would have been probably a good thing. But there, I mean, there were so many breaks. It wasn't like a structured 9-to-5 job. You weren't like on the clock for like, you know, a solid book of time. And so it was like lots of these gaps of on off. And if you were to you know, basically accrue the time that you are mandated to be somewhere. Yeah. They are like 16, 20 hour, maybe more depending on, you know, like late arrivals, et cetera, days. But it's just kind of one of those things where you are almost immersed into this culture of everybody that just steps up and does it and has fun, that you don't really think about it. Or I didn't in the beginning. It never occurred to me as like work. And, you know, I became the king of like napping, you know, whenever there was like breaks during the day, and we had quite a few little blocks of time after lunch or what have you. So, it wasn't until the machine of Cancun that I realized that I was really putting in some solid time. So
did you, after a certain while, want to switch jobs? Like, were you looking around what other people were doing? Cause well, you had the benefit. Hardly anyone ever started at land sports. Usually yep. Try to get to that. So as you, as a land sports, did you see some other job that you wanted to do?
Honestly, I went and did everything. So that was one thing I kind of, said to myself, like going on this experience, because it wasn't something you were going on to make a good financial gain from. You were going for an experience. Like, you were gonna get to go some, you know, a pretty cool place, basically be able to be part of a vacation spot, and you're providing, you know, that entertainment for guests, and you're getting to interact and meet people from all over the world and work with people from all over the world. And so I basically, when I got there, I told myself, I'm just gonna like, if they need me for something, yes. It's like, hey, do you want to try this? Yes. So my first full day. So like the night I'd gotten back home or to the village previous, the next day, cruising around, basically getting the tour with Jenny again. And we went to Trapeze, which I was like, this is crazy. Like Trapeze, like where in Canada do you do that stuff? Like never seen that before, you know? And so I was like, yep, first day I was like, screw it, getting on there. And so for anybody who's ever done it, you know, maybe they walk past the rig there a few times trying to like maybe psych themselves up to think maybe that's something they'd like to try. And yeah, you know, the first time you do it, it's quite a bit of nerves, but just basically got up there and jumped in it and did it. And it was hilarious, and obviously looked probably like a wet paper bag flying in the wind up there, but it was pretty cool. And so yeah, so from there I just kind of jumped on anything. Land sports, it was cool because it was like legit. I think I had the best job there because you had the all access pass to everything, because you were basically everywhere all day. Like you got to kind of touch in and see with all the different places and jobs and the games, the events, stuff going on. So land sports was the best job in my opinion. So I was pumped to be where I was. And then I also was lifeguarding. So that was kind of like they were all kind of on one team. So we were kind of put on the rotation of lifeguarding and or doing the activities, and everyone was pretty cool with like, hey, do you want to do this today? And like kind of trading off. So I never thought that I wanted to do something different. Now I really loved what, you know, looked up to at the time, you know, Jenny and Johnny Bravo, cause they were like the main characters of the village, and they had such a, you know, a presence and they could just like, basically they were a show everywhere they went. They were a show and it was exciting. So I kind of wanted to be like those guys and be involved to that level. So I basically did what they did, you know, got at as many shows as we could, like all the productions, went to all the different activities and just got involved as much as I could. So yeah, I would say in terms of trying to find what was the right, you know, the best or another job to do or whatever, I think I had it. You know, bartending didn't really seem that exciting at the time, because you were inside a lot. So yeah, being outside lifeguarding, cruising around with the land sports team, we had it made for sure.
And during this time at Sandpiper, did you ever acquire a nickname?
I really don't think I got the nickname until I met you, sir.
Okay. we'll get to that in a moment. We'll get to that. In your weekly staff meetings, I think I probably already know the answer to this, but were you ever discouraged from having a relationship with another coworker, or because it was a family village, it was cool?
Yeah. You know, in the beginning that never really came up. It wasn't until Cancun that was definitely more emphasized because just the culture, I think, of Cancun is a little different. But yeah, no, it was like the family village. It was kind of, I don't, if they did say it, it was like something they just touched on like they would at any new job. You know, you have your HR meeting and they just touch on it and move on. So it was nothing that felt like it was a highly emphasized point. I think everyone had the understanding and everyone was pretty respectful, and it was pretty, you know, dialed down compared to the next place I went to.
Were there any European guests there, or were they mostly American, the guests?
There were some, but primarily it was more North American. We had a lot of North American people on vacation there, you know, just the families coming in, and a lot of people would come there and they'd want to do like the whole Disney thing, Disney experience as well, because it was pretty close to that. So not a lot of Europeans. And when we had Europeans, to me, that was like a lot of my first exposure to, you know, people from across the pond. Yeah, so
I was going to ask you about like culture shock. So I guess, did you have any?
100%. Yeah. I'll never forget the first topless girl we saw. Like there was like a whole family and they were just out there sitting on the small beach in Sandpiper. If you've ever been there, it's like 10 square feet, but, and the alligators can dip right up to your toes. It's pretty interesting, beachfront, but yeah, I never forget walking past the sailing. And I was like, what is like, we're in the States. Like, what's going on? It's like, yeah, they kind of, it's like, you know, they think they're in, you know, the tropics, and I don't even think it was allowed there, but they did it anyway. And so that was definitely a bit of a culture shock in the beginning. And then go, you know, see them later for lunch or something like that, you know, with the family. It was definitely a bit of a culture shock for sure.
Now, did you know you were, so you probably knew you were going to participate in the show. So was that something you were keen on doing?
So it was honestly the way, like in the beginning, it was never really position that it was like you had to do it. It was like it was encouraged and, you know, they were supportive of it, but I never felt like it was something I had to do. For me, it was like I gravitated towards the people that were the most involved. Like those are the people that I got along with the best, and they were just, you know, getting every ounce of experience out of the, you know, the whole thing. And that's what I wanted to do. So I never felt like it was like, oh, you gotta do this show, you gotta do that show. I actually went out seeking. I was like, cause I kind of came in partway through. I was like, I didn't come in with a group of people, like at the, you know, the exact start of a season. Cause I think, what's the start? Like May? Is that like changeover time? So I came in January. So the team was already kind of established. I was kind of filling a spot that someone had to go. And so like everything, you know, all the shows were kind of like fine old machines at that point. I just wanted to get involved. So I was like the only one that really kind of wasn't, you know, in a lot of these things. And so I was like, just try to jump on as many things as I could. And before I knew it, I was basically in every show every night. And it was a great time.
Is that where you coined the term, the infamous term, dirty bop? Now, let me just, okay, for our listeners, let me just tell you. So Evan and I, we just got to Cancun, you know, we got pounced on by the outgoing choreographer who just had to fill two spots. Luckily, I was coming off a broken ankle and I, you know, held up my paper to her. And then you gave me a kind of like, you lucky bastard. And then I think she was trying to tell you what she wanted, and you were like, oh, you want a little dirty bop, don't you? So where did that come from? That must have come from Sandpiper, no?
Honestly, I have no idea. I definitely have been known to have some catchphrases that probably come from like Home Improvement, like Al Borland or something. I have no idea. But I got a couple. There's another one that I coined, I remember, in college later on. And I only mentioned that because that's like my memory, it's definitely deteriorating, but it was how's your burger, as a guy kind of dusted somebody going to the net. But yeah, I have no, I have absolutely no idea where that came from.
Okay, so this next question is going to sound crazy because knowing how lovable you are, but did anyone for no reason, I mean, someone who's never spoken a word to you, take an instant dislike to you? Is that even possible?
I did. And I won't name names.
But no names. But I was just curious if someone did for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm sure there was a reason. I think there's always a reason.
There's not. No, if they've never spoken to you, no, there's no reason. Like I'm saying, someone who...
I feel like without, I think no, like without like first, like right off the bat, not knowing somebody. No, I never had that I could think of, but there were definitely, I have one that I definitely know that someone did not like me.
Okay. Did you acquire any skills when you were there, like a sport you never tried? Did you learn something new?
Oh, I mean, so do you want me to segue from Sandpiper to my Cancun experience?
No. We're staying in Sandpiper. So did you learn how to sail, like for instance?
So I had sailed. I've never sailed in my life. And so I did try sailing. Now for those who've been to Sandpiper, there's not like a lot of times the wind's not phenomenal where you are. You're kind of like on a little brackish water kind of pond that's kind of in this like kind of treed in waterway. So sailing, there was a lot of times it felt like that sailing was closed just because there was no wind. The same thing with windsurfing. So I had tried it. I think I'd been on the boat like in the time I was there like once or twice, but never really got the opportunity to really dive into it because it wasn't something that was very accessible due to the conditions, from what I recall. But I did everything. I tried sailing. I tried, the circus, tennis. I played tennis before. Anything that they kind of offered and had, you know, our team members involved with, I jumped on it and tried to kind of, get in there and have some fun.
Do you have one funny, clean, emphasis on clean story from your first season you could share?
I think I have a couple.
Give me your best one.
I don't really have, like, honestly, okay. I think my time there was so short. So I feel like I was there like maybe 3 months because the transition time was like we said, May, right?
Yes.
So that in of itself is it was a fun story. I think that actually, you know what? That's what I'm saying. I think a lot of people didn't like me at that point when I actually got the opportunity to go to Cancun after being 3 months at Sandpiper. I think that was like a pretty much unseen event that had ever happened. I never really had anything too crazy. One was, I'm from Canada. I grew up on the beach, Wasaga Beach, largest freshwater beach in the world. I thought I was a badass. I knew what water was. And I was like, oh yeah, I grew up on the water. And I'll never forget this one guy came into the village and he was on land sports as well. He's from California. His name's Brandon. And he's like amazing surfer, like from, you know, California, had the surfer vibe. And you know, he was always like, hey man, like we're gonna a day off, I'm gonna take you surf. And I was like, I would love to go surfing. It sounds like the best thing ever. And so I remember ripping down the coast with him, and we're just trying to find a spot. And I'm like, I have no idea what I'm looking at, but the water looks scary. From if anybody's ever, you know, been to the Atlantic coast in Florida, the drop off in most places is pretty significant. So it's not like where I grew up, where literally the drop off of the beach, you could walk out for a mile and still be up to your waist. So it was not like anything crazy. And so finally he's like, okay, this is going to be it. This will be the one. And so we get to the shore and it's like overhead and a half. These waves are massive. The biggest things I've ever seen in my life. And I'm like, whatever, like I'm here now, I gotta roll with this. And so he runs out there and he's duck diving, doing all these things that I had no idea what was. And so I go out there with this friggin' giant flotation device and I get destroyed. I can't even get out 10 feet past like the shoreline, and I'm getting churned up and my nipples are bleeding and I can't see because I've never been in salt water before. So that was outside looking in, a lot of people who see where I'd come from, if they had seen that experience in unfold in 5 minutes, would have been pretty entertained. So that was that was pretty funny.
I'm guessing you liked crazy science.
I had fun with them. Yeah, I loved to be a part of it. I love to dance. I love to be with my, you know, my friends. It's fun learning new things. And yeah, like it definitely had a way of bringing a level of energy to a group. And really, I never drank coffee at the time. So that was like my way of really getting, you know, an energy boost, you know, at different points in the day when, you know, most people would probably start to get a little tired. We throw a crazy sign there at lunch and you'd be okay. And then you throw one in there before, you know, the show and you'd be all right. And you'd do one after and you could feel like you go all night. So it was fun.
So what's your top three? You got a favorite one? I got to know.
Holy geez. You gotta remind me of some of the names. I feel like
Oh, you got Mwevolo. You have
actually, you know what? You know what? Hands Up's the classic. So you get burnt out with that one pretty quick. But what's the one that you brought? And it was like a Japanese one.
Yeah. Hong Dong.
Yeah. Okay. I love that one. That was a fun one. Yeah. I heard that one. And you, I think a Joker came up to it the first time I saw it, do that one. And I was dying. That was hilarious. That's definitely one of my favorites.
I brought it to Punta, but then, you know, I famously broke my ankles and I taught it to Joker on my broken ankle before I left. So
oh, that's awesome. Well, that was it. That'd be the one for sure. And then there's so many other ones that were fun, but that one stood out to me.
So I'm gathering you liked a lot. So was there something you didn't like about the job?
There was nothing really because if there's something I didn't like, I kind of would do something to change it. It wasn't until we got to Cancun that I'd started to wear on my body a little bit and I started to want to have a little more time off. But in the first village there, the excitement level is so high It didn't matter to me. I was fine. You know, there were some hard days getting up when you've got a pretty monstrous hangover. So that was pretty tough, but you find a way and you just charge through. So, there was nothing really that I would, you know, that I had an issue with. And if I did, I either addressed it or redirected energy somewhere else.
I'm sensing you were always an extrovert. So someone like you would have no problem eating, with strangers, you know, being with, you know, guests 24/7. That's no problem for you, right?
No, I thought that was kind of fun to be able to have that green light to be able to just, you know, invite yourself to a table of people. You know, it was a great way to meet people. And it was like encouraged to go set up a time to go eat a meal with a family or some people from wherever and get to know them. And that's what, you know, made our experience, I think, just as valuable as the guests. You know, like we had connections with people as well. It wasn't just with the GO team itself. You know, you get to know the guests and you get to like them and their families and their kids and, you know, have fun and, you know, it, teach the, you know, their kids things along the way. So it was, I loved it all. Yeah. The sitting down with different people and encouraged to do so was never a problem for me. It was a shock to find that some people did have problems with it. I was like, I didn't really know what they thought they were signing up for, but that kind of seemed to fit the, you know, the mold of what was expected there.
Besides Jenny Lopez and Johnny Bravo, were there any other managers or GOs that really stood out to you, like made an impression on you?
So Kevin Batt was my first chief of village, and he's awesome. And one, Canadian; two, from Quebec. So rock star from Montreal. He was a fun guy and a legend in his own right. But yeah, no, there was a lot of great people. We had a great team on the Spanimation team. I remember there was a lot of great people on the mini club team. Became really good friends with Scuba Steve. I remember Matt. He was also another lifeguard with us. Really, really great guy from out west. He was a D1 swimmer there, and he could impress everybody with how well he could hold his breath and do 18 lengths in the pool. Marco was a good buddy of his from New York, and he was a character, if you can imagine. He was a tennis GO and just a lot of fun. It was actually fun because we'd watch Marco and play a few of the guys. I think he played Matt too, and man, this guy Marco would get so worked up. So it'd be just entertaining just to watch him have meltdowns. And Aranio was chief of circus at the time, so he was a pretty big legend in that world. And I didn't realize, but got to be exposed to a lot of people who had lived it and were really respected in the Club Med community.
Did you meet any celebrities during your time there?
You know, I think if I did, they weren't like A-listers, obviously. And I mean, you can speak to this too. I never really got jaded or like, you know, too worked up about meeting a celebrity. They're just, to me, I kind of got along with them, meet them, and they were kind of just, you know, being people. So it was never like, oh yeah, got to meet so.
Well, wait a minute now. I remember you telling me you have a signed Wayne Gretzky stick. So I think were a little awestruck by Gretzky, the great
one,
weren't you?
I was also 9 years old.
Still.
So yeah, when I was nine, I was that was pretty, you know, a childhood hero. And so that was a pretty cool experience there when Canada Cup came to Collingwood to do their training camp. But yeah, no, like it never... You know, beyond that, there, you know, I wasn't too involved in the movie world and the sport world at that time. I do remember meeting Steve Monador in Cancun, who was just such a great guy, such a fun loving guy. And he was a professional hockey player. He's no longer with us, but I remember meeting him, and he was just a great dude. And you know, I guess just kind of brought back to the hockey roots there of some of the camaraderie we had with those guys. But yeah, there were definitely people we met. I think I met the original Bachelor in Turks and Caicos. Yeah, I'm drawing a blank, but I know there was, I mean, we had that whole sitcom or the soap opera come to Cancun there, but obviously it was a Mexican one, so we knew nobody there. But yeah, there's definitely some famous people that came in, but you know, they're just like anyone else, and they're either cool or not cool. And you end up, you know, going about your way.
Are you glad or sad that we didn't have social media back then? Well, I guess for you in 2003, yeah. It was kind of on the cusp.
I think even now I don't really care about social media. It's a means to an end. It's, you know, we're involved with it because of our business and our community, and it's our way of communicating with our people. But you know, it didn't even occur to me, and I've never thought, oh, I wish I had it back then. You know, it was what it was. And I never thought one way or the other if it would be better or worse if we had that.
Okay. So your season's coming to an end. Did you make a request for a second season? If so, like, I guess you had to choose a top three, or what did you choose?
Yeah. So that was it. So that whole, that's an interesting story. So I'm brand new to this whole thing and had got super involved, I think, in a very short period of time considering. And it came to the time where you got to, you know, basically pick your, I don't know what, top two or three villages that you would like to go to. And I'm like, oh, wow, we get to like go to, I'm like, I just got here. They're like, yeah, you know, cool your jets, kid. You're going to be here for at least a year, probably two. And I was like, oh, well, that's cool too. Like, didn't care. But they're like, you still got to do it anyway, nonetheless, just because if something, you know, odd chance, something happens, they might need somebody. And it's good just to have that in there. So I was like, all right, well, I'm like, well, where does everybody want to go? Like, what are the cool places? Like, where would you guys want to go? And they're like, generally speaking, everybody wants to go to Turks and Cancun in that zone. So I was like, cool, you know, Turks and Cancun, you know, I didn't even think, you know, of it. And I think I put Ixtapa as the third one or something. And so put it in. And I remember we all sit down. It's funny because I'm near Annapolis in Maryland right now. And at the Naval Academy, every year they have commissioning where they basically are determining like where they're going to be going. They're figuring out after you know, school where they're going to be. If they're going to be on a ship, on a sub, they're going to like NSW, like wherever they're going to go, they find out at this, like, you know, this this event. And this was kind of set up the same way, where it was like, you know, this big, everyone's in this room, giant projector, you know, with like everyone's name. And then it's like, you're going down the list and they're like, so-and-so is going to Ixtapa. And everyone's like, yay. And like, so everyone's just going down the line. And then they finally get to me and they're like, Evan, Cancun. And it was just like silent. And I was like, what? I'm going to Cancun?
So now a lot of people have like you, right?
What's, yeah, at that point, I feel like instantly, but I think everyone knew me at that time. So I don't know if that qualified for your, you know, fit your quote. But so I was like, what? Like, I'm going to Cancun. I'm like nervous, excited. I'm like, holy geez, I just got here. I'm like, what does this mean? Like, when do I go? Like, what's all these questions? And everyone's like, oh my God, man, that's awesome. Like, some people start, you know, saying that's amazing. And some people were like, how the hell did that guy get to go? Like, some people were bent, like seriously bent that I got the opportunity to go. I remember Kevin, like right after, was like, hey, Kevin, or hey, Evan, can I see you in my office? And I was like, yeah, sure, Kev, like, no problem. Like, so he brings me in his office. He's like, so I'm sure it came as a bit of a shock that you're going here. And then I thought back and I was like, you know what? And I remember Johnny came up to me. He's like, hey, Evan, have you, you know, how are you with like windsurfing and sailing? I was like, I don't know. I'm like brutal at it, but I've done it. Like, cool. Just curious. I was like, okay. Like, never really thought of anything at the time. And then, so sitting in the office with Kevin Batt, and he's like, so we're sending you to Cancun. Really like, you know, what you've done here, and you're you know, getting involved like right off the hop. You're a great fit. And I guess one of his good friends was Hendel, and I guess Hendel needed a guy, and we want to send you to Cancun. I'm like, cool. Am I doing the same thing? Like, what am I doing? And he's like, well, that's the interesting thing. We're gonna be sending you there as a windsurf geo. And I was like, all right, I've never really windsurfed in my life, but they're like, is that gonna be a problem? He's like, no, you'll get it, you'll figure it out. And I'm like, all right, like, you know, unbeknownst to me that windsurfing is like one of the hardest things,
yes,
on the planet to
the
learn.
Hardest sport in the world to learn.
Like, legit. And but I was, you know, I was like, oh my God. So I was a little nervous. I was like, holy crap, going to this whole new experience, knowing nothing about now what I'm gonna be doing. My roommate at the time was Lao Sin. I don't know if you knew Lao Sin, but he's a legend, pretty,
yeah,
big,
I did my my first season with Lao Sin.
He's hilarious.
From Morocco,
he,
right?
Yeah, Morocco. He was my roommate, which was like the funniest guy on the planet. Yeah, okay. He was a show. And but he was a professional windsurfer. So yeah. he's you know, so I was like, man, you gotta like just tell him. I mean, but we couldn't do it there because there's like no wind there. So I couldn't even get some reps in to rehearse and practice, you know. So, but he's like, you know, and you know, Lao Sin, like broken English, like not a surgeon when it comes to the language, yeah. Trying to, you know, tell me how to teach windsurfing. It was kind of like, oh, here's the arrow of wind, here's the board, you know. it was pretty simple terms. But anyway, so
he's still rocking his yellow Speedo, I gotta ask.
Oh yeah, no,
that image of him is burned in my mind when I met him. That's exactly what he was wearing.
His Brazilian nut huggers are, oh, okay. Yeah, in full effect. I think it's in full rotation. I have not seen him again for 15 years, but what a great guy. And you know, he was a lot of fun and a great roommate. But yeah, so that was like my the whole segue to starting the next phase, which was Cancun.
Okay, so my last last question I usually ask, was there something magical about your time in Sandpiper, like your first season? I know other ones might be different for different reasons, but do you consider, because it was your first one, there was had a magical quality to it or no?
I think all of them had in their own right. I mean, you could probably speak this too, but Cancun was definitely special. Yes. I didn't even realize at the time, you know, how special it was, you know, yeah. how special that team was. I just come to expect that was just kind of Hendel and how he ran the show, but like,
he stacked that team, boy.
Whew. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. I didn't realize that. Right. And, yeah. and so to be a part of that, I was definitely, you know, humbled, but in Sandpiper, it was basically, there was nowhere that I could think of that you could be around so many like-minded, outgoing, fun-loving, you know, want to participate, you know, want to get better, put themselves out there, you know, type people than Club Med. And it definitely, there is something special about being a GO. I will always, you know, hold that time near and dear to my heart. I think it definitely contributed to who I am today and how I just conduct myself as a father, as a business owner, you know, like it just someone in the community. It really definitely set the stage to be able to go after whatever you want. And so I think just basically the Club Med in of itself was the magic, and having the different villages brought a different, you know, level of experience with that. You know, how would you say that's kind of accurate?
Yes. Yeah, I would. No, that you bang on. You nailed it.
Yeah. So it was, the first village, that was my first exposure to that whole world, which was just, it's, if you've never done it, you don't know what we're talking about. Like words can't put it to the experience. So, and I know right now it's probably nothing like what it was when we were there, but I still think it would even still be a phenomenal experience.
You are right about that, sir. And with that, wow, I want to thank you. You had some great stories. So I want to, again, thank you from the bottom of my heart for coming on the podcast. I really, really appreciate it.
Hey man, if you want to do these once a week, it just any excuse to hang out with the legend, I'm down, you know?
Yeah. Like, we just won't record those ones. Okay.
No, it sounds good. Well, great. Thanks for having me on, man. Super, super honored. And again, just, you know, love the opportunity to catch up. You again are like family brother. And I do hope we can, you know, get together and start rolling the mines. I think we could probably even think of even more things that happened to us that we forget right now.
Yeah, that'll be another podcast for another time.
Yep, nope, for but, sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Mr. Evan Eichler. Thanks again, and we'll see y'all later. Bye.